And today I've entitled this sermon, Obedience is a Requirement for the Blessing. Obedience is a requirement for the blessing. Many people like to talk about the blessing of God. I am one of those people. I love to talk about the blessing of God. But I want you to always remember the blessing of God is contingent. It's conditional. There's always a condition. It always starts like this. If you, right? If you will do this, then I will do this. And I'm going to tell you, His part's always better. His part's always the supernatural. Your part is what you have capability of doing. You understand that? God's not asking you to heal the sick and part the waters because you can't do it. So what He asks you, you have the ability to do what He asks. Amen. Now look to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let me just go one, start laying a foundation here. You understand that if it's in the Word of God, it's truth. Right? You cannot temper that to make yourself look good. And you could not temper that to make yourself look bad. It is the truth. Right? Regardless, you know, the Bible records people's failures as much as their successes. Because it's the truth. So I just want to go over that because some of this seems hard. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to read the first 23 verses. It says, Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all they have and do not spare them, but kill both man, woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Now, stay with me for just a second. How many people would say that's harsh? Brutally harsh. How many people would say, I don't understand that? Okay, you don't have to understand it. Okay, it was a command of God. I don't understand it. But let's not get hung up on that. Let's finish the task. Let's see what the Lord wants to say to us today. But I agree with you. It's hard to understand. It says, so Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, Go depart. Get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. In other words, they were living among them. So Saul attacked the Amalekites, from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, the king of Amalek, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, but were unwilling to destroy them. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me, and he's not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. That tells you something about what's happening in his heart, right? When we start setting monuments to ourselves, hey, worship me. For he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ear, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they're consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is a sin of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Father God, we just come before you today. We thank you for the word. We thank you for this story. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this story comes to life today in our heart and we glean from it. Lord, what would help us 2,000 years later? What helps us to live successful for you, Lord? So may the Holy Spirit bring this sermon to life in each one of our ears, in each one of our life. Let the word of the Lord be planted deeply in our heart. Now, Lord, we ask that our words and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Samuel is the prophet, Saul is the king. And Samuel tells Saul, he says, here's what you need to do. You need to go down and you need to utterly destroy everything. That was the verse we read that we may not understand. Why in the world would the Lord send a message and send to totally destroy animals and children and everything? I don't understand that. But it was very clear that he was telling Saul to do. So Saul goes down and he remembered the Kenites who lives among the Amalekites, and he says, you guys need to get out of here. We don't have any problem with you, in other words. We don't want to do harm to you. You've been good to us. We separate yourself so that we won't hurt you in any way. And then they set a trap, basically, and they attack the Amalekites. And sure enough, I mean, it's basically a one-sided fight. They wipe them out. But they choose not to do exactly what the Lord has told them. They save the king instead of killing him. They say Agag, and they save him. And then they choose the best of the animals. It says they killed all the sick ones. They killed all the weak ones, you know. Killed all those that are, well, they're not so great anyway. But those that were really good, they saved those animals. And the message came to Samuel. The Lord spoke to Samuel and he says, Saul has done wickedly in my sight. He's not done what I've asked. And he says this. He said, when he was small in his own eyes. You know, the Bible talks a lot about pride. We talked about pride on Wednesday night. And pride is a wicked thing to God. And you remember the verse where I said that he set a idol basically up to himself. He's building a monument for himself. It shows the condition of his heart. Pride has come into Saul's heart. And he's beginning to now dishonor God. And judgment has come to the house of Saul, to the point that he's losing his kingdom. And I want you to notice one other thing. Did you notice that the Bible says that Samuel stayed up all night long with that word from the Lord? It bothered Samuel to even have to deliver that word to Saul. Why? Because Samuel was a man of God. He was a man of compassion. You know, many times as Christians, sometimes the word that we have to deliver grieve us as just mere men and women. But we still have to go forward with what God puts in our heart, and we have to speak the whole counsel of God. The first, number two, it says, why do we disobey? Why do we disobey? Proverbs 22:15 says that rebellion is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Some versions will say folly, but the word there is rebellion. Rebellion is in the heart of a child. So can I ask you something? Does that mean we need to beat our children? No. It means you need to administer discipline, though. So what happens if you were not disciplined? Does that mean that rebellion could still be in your heart? Absolutely true, right? And sometimes it really, as adults, it really gains a stronghold in our heart that, you know, it's really obvious when you deal with little kids and you see two-year-olds, they want their way. Selah is like that at 1 year old. I mean, she wants her way. She wants what she wants when she wants it. She wants mommy and nobody else. You know, a 1 year old baby. Now, Treva said, no, she wants me too. They didn't teach Selah that. That's in that child. It's part of the curse that comes through sin, is that rebellion is in children. The Bible is trying to give us wisdom by saying it's the rod of discipline that drives that far from a child. There's a lot of people in the world today who says, I don't believe in that. Well, you're not disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with the Word. It doesn't say beat the fire out of your kids. It doesn't say child abuse is good. It says to administer, you know, when you administer discipline right, you administer it in love. You love that child and you reason with that child and you say, here's the reason I've got to do this, you know. It grieves me to do this. Here's the old line that all of us, every mom and dad says, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. And Tyler's back here like, I never believed it then, don't believe it now. My kids say I said that, Tyler, but I believe I never said that because my mother always said that to me, and I thought, yeah, right. Then give me the rotten. I'll show you. God's discipline, God still wants to drive that rebellion out of our hearts. You understand that? You may not understand that you have that rebellion in your heart, but I'll almost promise you, you still got some of it. There's still that rebellious nature if you're not careful. And God needs to drive it out of you because He needs you to obey Him. Why? For the blessing. Obedience is necessary for the blessing of God to come into your life. So one reason we disobey is because we have rebellion in our heart. The second reason we disobey is because we don't trust that God is always right. Now, we would never say that, right? There's not a person in here that would say, well, God's not always right, so I can't trust Him. No, no, no. We're Christian enough that we know you would never speak that. That is maybe a lightning rod would strike me down if I ever said it. We don't speak it, but we may have it in our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorite scriptures, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. You know what Saul did? He leaned into his own understanding. See, Saul thought he had a better way. Now guys, how many of us have done that? You know, your boss tells you, hey, I want you to go do this, this, and this, and you need to do it in this order. And everything will go well. And you get over there and you think, well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I've been on this job for 6 weeks and I know he's been here for 20 years, but that doesn't make sense. I've got a better way. You know what he's looking for? He just wants you to be obedient. He's asking for you to be obedient. Same way with God. God's not looking for you to come up with a better way. He already knows the best way. He's looking for you to be obedient. Lean not into your own understanding. You know, there are some things that you're never going to understand as a Christian. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith. We have to trust that God knows the right way. He knows which way we... I don't know that I will ever understand tithing. Doesn't make sense to me that you give away money and God and you get prospered. To me, if you want to prosper yourself, if you want the prosperity, you need to hoard. That's what makes sense to me, but that ain't what God says. So it's a matter of trust to say, no, I not only need to tithe, I need to be a giver. And I need to give to others because as I give to others, God will give back to me. It's a trust issue. And there's a lots of things in the Word of God that are trust issues. C is we rationalize our behavior. I'm amazed at what sin Christians will get into because they've rationalized their behavior. They may see that it's wrong for everybody else, but it's not wrong for me because you don't understand my circumstances, Eric. See, it was a little different with me, so I had to go off the normal route and I had to do it this way. Oh, you didn't hear me. Don't rationalize sin. Sin is always wrong. Met a couple years ago. I mean, I was just a kid, 15, 16 years old, and I met the neatest couple. He became a real father figure to me. His name was Sam Fuson, and I love this guy with all my heart, and not ever having a father. This guy just really took me under his wing. I worked for him, actually, and I worked in a store and at Fred's, actually, in Murray, and started when I was 15 years old. And Sam and his wife came in one week for a vacation. And I loved my manager, but I remember praying. I said, Lord, if Mel ever leaves the manager in place, I said, if Mel ever leaves, would you send Sam here? And within about 3 months, Mel told us, he said, I'm leaving. And he looked at me in a staff meeting. He said, but Eric, you're going to be really happy. And I said, why is that? And he said, because Sam Fuson is coming. And I just had to hold down a shout. You know, it was like, oh, yes, but I couldn't say that because Mel was leaving us. Sam was a precious man of God that loved Jesus with all of his heart. But he made a really big mistake in his life. See, he rationalized some things in his life. And he wanted to have sex when he was a teenager. And so he decided to do it his own way. So he and his girlfriend at that time go to the church when there's nobody there. And they stand in the pulpit of the church and they make vows to each other. And they vow to be husband and wife. And therefore they could have sex because now they're married. But you see, that's not the way God designed that. God didn't say that was the way to do it. God talks about the covenant. And there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do it. Well, you know, Sam went to his house and Annie went to her house, but it wasn't no time at all before Annie got pregnant. And all of a sudden, the cat was out of the bag. And they really couldn't tell people, you don't understand, we're married, but we're not married. We stood before God. So, you know, it's still a sin. It's still a sin. Why? Because they did it their way. They didn't do it God's way. They didn't go through the right chain. And guys, we do that all the time. You see, I left Senior Citizens for about 20 months and opened up a retirement home. And the guy that took my position as the director was a Christian. Actually, I went to Hope Harbor. They fired him for stealing. But he had it rationalized in his mind because his son was sick and the board refused to give him a raise. So he just started stealing a little bit to help him buy the medicine that he needed for his son. And he was keeping track of it. But nobody trusted that was the right amount. But he kept track of everything because one day he's going to repay it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He rationalized this behavior to be right. It was not right then. It would never be right. It's sin. You see, Saul rationalized his behavior. He said, we did. When he met Samuel, this is the part that I wanted you to realize. This is not Saul trying to say that he wasn't trying to promote this image that I did everything. He believed in his heart that he did everything that was asked of him. You get this? See, I've read this story probably 100 times, and I didn't get this until just recently. Saul believed that what he did was right. He had it in his mind that he was only going to take these sheep and these oxen, and he was going to sacrifice them to the Lord. He just come up with a better way. Why kill them on the spot when we can offer a sacrifice to God? Lord, you know, if I win the lottery, I'll tithe on it. Give me the numbers, Jesus. Give me the numbers. Jeez, how stupid are we? We believe we know a better way. There is no better way than living in obedience to Jesus Christ and to God's Word. So what are the consequences to disobedience? We lose the blessing of obedience. The blessing of God comes through obedience. And when you disobey, you stop the blessing. You understand that? See, a lot of people believe this. They believe that if you mess up, God is going to strike you down. I'm telling you what, if you don't tithe, God will make you have a car wreck. I don't believe that. You'll never convince me that nonsense. I don't believe God does things to hurt you. Satan kills, steal, and destroy. God come that you might have life. So where does all that meanness come from? Where does all the bad stuff come from then? We step out from under the blessing sometimes. Sometimes it just happens and everything, you're doing your best and it's just a challenge. The Satan is just trying to challenge you. But other times, you've stopped obeying him and you're doing it something your own way. Do you understand? It doesn't take, the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. See, I believe there's a lot of families that are saying, what are we missing? Why is this stuff not coming together? What are we doing wrong? Guys, I'm going to tell you, it may not be the big stuff. It may be something very small in your life. It may be that I'm just not obeying in this one area and I blocked the blessing from coming. Because one area of my life is I've not let this area bow. I've held a part of my heart in rebellion to God. Many times it is tithing. I wasn't planning on teaching on that at all today. But many times it is tithing that people will not surrender to God. It opens the door to the enemy. Ephesians 4:27, it says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Do you understand? When I read that verse, I see that verse as very loving. I see the Lord as saying, guys, come on. I want you to make the right choices. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. And then there's other people that see that kind of verse as nothing more than judgment of God. God says don't give the devil. Right? But I see this as God is loving. He's, you know, I raised three sons and I did my best to teach them things that would harm them. Right? You've done the same things. I tried to teach them to work hard, to apply themselves. I didn't teach them that a stove will burn by laying their hand on the burner. That's called child abuse. That's not loving. That's despicable. God's the same way. God teaches us what will harm us largely through His Word, not by making you experience bad things. Are you following me? I need a little bit. You guys are quieter than Presbyterians this morning. It's the first step to rebellion, and rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Now, every one of us said, you know, yeah, I know there's probably still a little bit of rebellion in my heart. And, you know, we're pretty willing to say, yes, I deal with this rebellion. I deal with this. I'm pretty willing to say, yeah, that's maybe been a part of my life. Until you say it's witchcraft, don't call me a witch. But that's what rebellion is. It's the sin of witchcraft. Come up with a better way. I can do it myself, Lord. Remember every two-year-old? Do it myself. Do it myself. And sometimes we're 30 doing the same thing. Do it myself, Lord. Do it myself. Rebellion. Disobedience stops all further instruction. You ever been in part of your life and you think, you know, God hasn't spoke to me in a long time. God hasn't told me, how do I get out of this situation? How do I do that? You know why? Because you didn't complete the last task. So when you go to prayer and say, God, what am I to do? You know what He's going to say to you? Go do that thing that I told you 2 years ago. Because you've got to claim that mountain first. You know, I've told you this story before, but God told me one time to apologize to my neighbor, who I didn't think I'd done anything to him, but he was awful to me. But God tells me to apologize. And man, that was the hardest thing in the world to do, but I knew one thing. I was young. I was 19 years old. I knew as soon as I left that church, I better do this real quick or else I'll never do it. If I get out of here and get away from that anointing that I feel that I'm supposed to do this, I'm gonna justify this, I'm gonna rationalize this. I'll never do this if I don't do it quick. Beginning of the service, I said there's disharmony in relationships. If you don't deal with that quick, I'll guarantee you'll rationalize it. Well, you know, it'll get better on its own. No. When the Lord brings something to light, you better act on it. You better act on it. Number four, look at this. Partial obedience is really disobedience. Isn't that revelation? How many times, I can remember when I was a kid, my mom would come to me and say, Eric, I want you to do this and do this and do this and do this. Well, I thought she was saying, or. Okay, four things and I get to choose which one I want. I'll do number one. You know, I'll do number three, but I'm not doing all four. Guess what? She never was happy about me doing, even if I did three of the four things, it never made her happy. She only got happy when I did all four. You know why? Because she knew something. Partial obedience is disobedience. It's just wrapped up in a different package. You see, if we do some of the things, we like to wrap that up and say, hey, God, look at this. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain came up with a better way, right? He thought, well, I believe I can improve upon God's plan. I believe I love flowers. I love the stuff that I'm growing. I think that I'll make God a flower basket and bring it to the Lord. And the Lord was displeased. Why? Because He knew it took blood. God knew it took the blood. We didn't understand that. Maybe He didn't understand. Maybe He didn't understand, but He did understand He wasn't doing it the way God had told Him. I was talking to Kevin today. Kevin said something. He works for Merck. Kevin's a drug pusher. And he's a legal pharmaceutical salesman. And his specialty is diabetic medicine. And diabetic medicine probably, in Kevin's life, probably could be a little boring. And he said that when he was younger, he said, I wanted to introduce the new drugs to the doctors. And I always thought, Lord, why can't I do the new stuff? And why can't I more exciting stuff? It seemed like God just kept him on this route of selling this diabetic medicine. Kevin tells me today that Merck has laid off so many people. And now Kevin's the last one standing. He's the only one that still has his job that started with him. Everybody else that started around the time Kevin started is no longer employed with Merck. Only God knew that the diabetic medicine would stand and would be a staple. Do you understand that? See, God sees both sides of the mountain, and He sees the end from the beginning. Didn't seem like, you know, I could see Kevin going to his boss, and I'm not saying he did this, but I could see him going to the boss saying, I want to sell the exciting stuff. Give me the heart medicine. I want to sell something exciting. No, Kevin, you just keep plugging along doing what you're doing. Only to find out, this close to retirement, he's almost got your 30 years in almost, 27 years, like 3 more years. Wouldn't it be terrible to lose your job 3 years away from retirement? I could see God saying, no, we got to keep you on this path because this is the path that's going to bring the blessing. See God say, no, you don't need to marry that person. Got somebody else for you. You better pray about that decision. Just because they walk upright, don't make them the person that God has for you. But he's got hair, Lord. Sorry, man, I didn't mean it. So what is the blessing of obedience? You know, we're talking about the blessing. Disobedience stops the blessing. Is it worth it? Is the blessing worth it? Absolutely. So I just want to read these verses to you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 13. And I'll try to emphasize as we go through because I won't be spending a lot of time on this. It says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently, not occasionally, to get it? If you diligently, not occasionally, obey the voice of the Lord your God to carefully observe all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you. Now, I want you to get that too. The blessings of the Lord will come upon you. You don't seek out the blessing. Come on, you got to stay with me. You don't seek the blessing, you seek God. When you seek God and you walk in obedience to God, the blessing will overtake you. It will come. It's not that you have to go after it. It will come after you. And it will overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. I said I wouldn't comment about all this. You know, this was an agricultural society. So they were growing things. But you had to sell them in the city. A farmer told me one time, he said, you're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't. I said, what do you mean about that? He said, on a bumper year when you have just great crops, when I'm telling you, you get the best crop that you've ever had. He said, you go to sell them and the prices drop because everybody's had a good crop. He says, but many times on the worst year when you don't have any crop to sell, prices shoot, supply and demand shoot up. So if you had a crop to sell, you would make great money this year. But the Bible says you're going to be blessed in the country and blessed in the city. See, your crop will be blessed and then you'll sell it for a blessing too. Does that make sense? You shall be blessed in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. You'll walk in health. The produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock. Blessed shall you be in the basket and the kneading bowl. In other words, your food will go further. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, but flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses. That means your bank account. All the stocks and bonds, you'll be blessed. In all which you set your hand to, He'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now here is the one that really touches my heart. In obedience, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. Isn't that precious? Say, no, Eric, give me the stuff. Give me the big bank account. No, sir. Don't sell it out for money. The Lord will establish you as holy. There'll be a relationship between you and God that is precious. Just as He's sworn to you, if you'll keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His way, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they'll be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruity, I don't think that's supposed to be fruity of your body. Fruit of your body. Trevatite this. No, she didn't. In the increase of your livestock and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you His good treasure. Oh, yes. Come on, Lord. The heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Oh, what a blessing that'd be, guys, wouldn't it? You don't borrow anymore. You're now the lender. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. If the largest word in that portion of Scripture is that two-letter word right there. If you heed the commandment of the Lord. If you'll heed the commandment of the Lord, the blessing of God will overtake you. Guys, I promise you, the Word of God accomplishes that which it's sent to do. It fulfills its purpose. If you will diligently listen to the Lord, if you will obey Him. Quit rationalizing your sin. Start listening to God and obey Him. If He tells you to repent, repent. If He tells you to apologize, apologize. He tells you to start paying your tithes, start paying your tithes. He tells you to give to somebody that has less than you, give to somebody that has less than you. If He tells you to give to somebody that has more than you, you'll give to them. Don't rationalize, well, they don't need it. God tells you to do it, you do it. How do I receive instruction from God without a Samuel? There's no Samuel in my life. Samuel went to Saul and says, here's what God's got for you. We don't have Samuels moving around the room anymore. Prophets of the Lord saying, here, you need to do this. So what do we have? We have the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank God for the Word. And if you get any other word that contradicts this Word, then it's not from God. You make sure that the Word that you're hearing from the Lord agrees with this Word. God says He blessed the work of your hands. If you hear God tell you to quit your job and live off society, that ain't from God. Oh, I believe in the blessing. I'm going to quit my job and God's going to send a check. Yeah, right. You're going to starve to death what you're going to do. Because that ain't God. You keep working and God will bless the work of your hands is what the Scripture says. Not popular teaching, I know, but it still works. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Spirit of God, perfect unity in the Godhead. And part of that Godhead is within you. A seed of that is within you. And He will speak to you. In John chapter 16, verse 13, He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He'll not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He'll speak. And He'll tell you things to come. Guys, we need to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit will be a quiet spirit. He's not yelling. He's not screaming at you. It's be a quiet spirit. But He will speak to your heart. In Romans 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Do you realize that that's you? You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. If the Spirit of God is leading you, you are His children. I love that verse. As many are led by Him, we are His sons, His daughters, His family. I think every time that the Spirit of God speaks to you, you ought to remind yourself, that's because I'm a child. Because I'm His child. The peace of God will lead us. In Colossians 3:15 it says, let the peace of God rule. And you see, I'm having parentheses, umpire, in your hearts. When you lose your peace, you better stop in your step. When you lose your peace, I can preach till 2 o'clock if you ain't gonna live. Stay with me just a few more minutes. If you lose your peace, stop. Reevaluate where you're at in life. What am I doing wrong? The peace of God will literally umpire. You understand what that? He'll call balls and strikes. He'll call foul or fair. This is the way, walk ye in it. The peace of God. I thank God for the peace of God. You make a decision and all of a sudden your belly just says, oh, you better reevaluate that decision. I was 18 years old when I asked this girl to marry me. Close your ears for just a second. What does an 18-year-old know? But you know what? I had the peace of God about it. I knew she was the one. I've made lots of decisions in life. Treva asks me all the time, did you pray about that? Go back home, woman. Man, it gets me every time sometimes. You know, I tend to make decisions quick. Well, the last time, you know, I went to buy a car, did you pray about that? No. I'm being led by the Holy Ghost. I'm walking in step, sister. But I'm wise enough to know one thing. When I lose my peace, I stop and reevaluate. And I say, okay, Lord, I messed up somewhere. Shoot me in another way. The last thing is we have the assurance of hearing God's voice. John 10:3-5 says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they'll by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Can I ask you again, is the word of God truth? Absolute truth. Absolute truth. Then that verse is truth. You know what it says? You have the ability to hear his voice. You don't need a preacher. Just lost my job, didn't I? The Holy Spirit within you will speak to you. Now I'll tell you this. You ought to listen to your preacher. You ought to listen to your pastor. If you can't receive from me, I'll tell you something. You're in the wrong church. I didn't get any amens. I don't know if I wanted them. You got to trust the man who's delivering the word of God to you. You got to trust that he's heard from God. I know this sermon that I'm bringing to you today, it's divine. It's from God. I know that God wanted me to speak this sermon to you today. Because somebody needed to hear this. Somebody needs to make some changes maybe in your life. You need to quit rationalizing some things. And you need to say, Lord, I want to be an obedient child. I want to do what things your way. I don't need to think I've got a better plan. How many women have married men and thought, well, I'll change them? You ought to pray over that decision a little bit more. Because you ain't going to change him. He is what he is. And now you've got a ring on your finger saying, I'm joined to him. Understand that? Some decisions we make in life, we really should have put a little bit more prayer into. You enter into a covenant, that's one you better pray about. Here in just a few minutes, we're getting ready to enter into a covenant as we celebrate communion together. And I believe with all my heart, it's always, to me, it's always such a great thing to be able to stand before you and say, guess what, guys? We get to repent. Praise Jesus. You know, there'll be a day when you don't get to repent. There'll be a day when you're accountable for what you've done. But today, you get to repent. That's a great thing. I don't care how much you've blown it, you get to repent. You get a do-over. And the blood of Christ forgives you of all your sins. All the stupid mistakes you've made, the blood of Christ washes it away. You get to start over. What a blessing. If you read this scripture really good, you'll see that I believe that there was three times when Saul could have repented, but he didn't. He kept going. He kept saying, but you don't understand, Samuel. But I, Samuel, come on, listen to this logic now for your obedience. Don't be rationalizing things with God. God, you don't understand, I had to steal it. Oh, really? You couldn't trust me for it? Was my hand short? You understand, God, I had to marry him. He was the only one. Oh, really? You couldn't trust me? I don't know why I keep going back to marriage. If you're married today, he is the one. And it is God's will. Whoa, is it that late or what? I just don't have time to preach every sermon for 10. You can hear God's voice. And today, I believe God's voice is saying you get to repent. You get a do-over. Amen. Here's how we want to end this service. I want us to spend some time with your family in prayer, families together. So I'm going to ask the guys that I've asked to do ushers to administer this communion, if you'll come on up. We've just got two tables set up, and so this table will serve these two bays, and this table over here will serve these two bays. And what I'm asking you to do is just take the elements and go back to your seat and start to gather up with a family, with your own family. And if there's something that you need to make right in your family, make it right. If there's something you need to make right with God, make it right with God. Husbands, you are the spiritual leader of your family. So I want you to pray and to pray for a blessing. Brian and Jenny, I'd like to take communion with you guys today, if you would. So when you get your elements, if you just come up here, I just want to take that. Treva and I'd like to take it with you. I want to pray a blessing over that baby is what I want to do. Father God, I just come before you right now. Lord, I've delivered the words that you have placed on my heart, and I believe they're very timely. Lord, I want to see this church walk in the blessing, and I want to see your blessing overtake each and every family. So I'm praying and I'm asking right now that the Holy Spirit make it very clear, Lord, where Samuel said, then what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear in my ear? Father, do you hear something in our lives or see something in our life that's not right? Have we rationalized sin? Have we done something that's not right? Lord, as we celebrate communion today, I pray the Holy Ghost would bring these things to our remembrance so that we can get them out of our heart. Holy Ghost, speak to every heart. We know that we can hear your voice because we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand with me. If you're single today,